Mendes, what weapon does Nassim have? Assuming it's a long-ranged one, since we're playing the long-distance joust.
Yeah.
Okay. So it could be any weapon that is long. That is
uh-huh. Yeah. Any ranged weapons, firearms included. They're just firing wax bullets.
Oh, fascinating.
One of the reasons that I love having Mendes as part of this cast is you ask Mendes, what weapon is somebody holding? And it's like, well, this is a great way to talk about their personality. And
yeah. Okay. I think he has an extremely long barreled musket. It's got okay. like an ornate stock with like ivory and inlay and stuff like that. Mm. And then like a long, very, very long barrel, almost like a Giselle.
Clearly okay, he brought this awesome. One from home.
Oh, yes.
As he is trying to yank the like reins on the eagle to kind of get it to stay in the tempo that he's looking for. And Dimitri is like, wait, hold on. That makes a perfect loop. I can use that. That's fine. And pulls a hand into his like jacket and pulls out a bunch of marbles like between each finger and throws them up into the air, brightly colored, catching the light. They kind of sparkle like oddly colored stars as they start to kind of rain back down. He then forms a loop with his yo-yos and opens it skyward and lets the marbles fall into it. Mm. And they disappear for surprisingly long. And he's waiting for them to kind of like fire through the bridle loop backwards mm-hmm. at the rider. Whoa. Instead, because Nassim has a gun, and the barrel also counts as a perfect loop, and it then fires a bunch of marble bullets in random directions. He's not holding it; he's too busy jerking the bird around on it. So the kind of like tip of the barrel of the gun is not being trained on anything. So marbles are now being fired wildly in random directions, clipping bits of the stand.
Yeah, I kind of think, like, knowing a little bit about firearms, if you were to put marbles in a gun and that gun were to fire, the gun would explode.
The gun would explode, yes.
Yes, it would.
I think what happens here, you're disqualified. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, it's you've, like, destroyed your opponent's weapon in a way that could have injured him. You know, like if a gun explodes in your hand, like there's shrapnel, whatever. Like, yeah, I think probably, you know, this was really just a slight calculated error. And it might have been that like the plan, if the marble were to appear right in front of the gun barrel as the bullet was coming out, it would obviously deflect whatever was happening. Mm-hmm. But like something, I think maybe because it was raining, maybe because you were working so hard to impress your brother, like that half inch backwards means that there's a gas explosion, the gun backfires and actually explodes. And thank God, I think Nassim is not injured. Oh, yeah. What happens? The gun explodes and all of a sudden we can see the jars full of sand and powder on the ground, which track how much kinetic energy is going into each hit. And you can move like on scales that are Roy G. Biv up through like kind of a red. And mm-hmm. the last is black, which is actual foul points, because you're hitting an opponent so hard it could damage the armor system and mm-hmm. potentially kill them. And I think the first black jar like lets off some powder. The crowd is going wild because like you just did a super hard hit, you know, technically. And this crowd is out for blood, thanks to Rashawn. However, that is not within the rules. And the match is called off. You're disqualified. I don't know how many points you actually lost on that, but technically the decorated tusks are up to zero. Everything is going to come down to trance.
Dimitri is incredibly emotionally distraught by this. This particular penalty in particular, because this was, you know, gone right, this would have just been a fun prank to be like, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
And instead, the game that he loved so much, entirely inadvertently, he injured somebody, could have injured somebody passionate, who was so passionate enough to actually take up the reins and compete. And that's all he ever wanted to do and play against. And Dimitri's super upset. He leaves in tears.
You leave the arena?
Yeah, no, he's gone. Like, upon being set to the ground, he processes the fact of the amount of damage he could have caused somebody that, hey, he's a rival. You know, we're enemies against each other. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. This isn't about violence, regardless of the people outside who are fighting for something that Dimitri doesn't even actually believe in. He's no better than they are. He's disgusted with himself.
The camera also cuts back to the stands, and we see the cousins, but Javon's seat is empty.
Oh, God. That counts as a trouble. I'd say that counts as a trouble.
That's hurt feelings. Oh, my Lord, you gave him a trouble as he... Oh, is there already... Lord have mercy.
Do we resolve that now or later?
I feel like that trouble definitely gets marked on your character sheet right now, for sure. Because the fight, there are ways... Yeah, there are certain things that, like, you can contribute to your co-players stuff.
I mark a trouble or a fight on the character.
You mark a fight. You mark a fight.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get to the final matchup, we've got one more match moment here. Rashawn, you've got a match moment that is still floating out there. We're about to go into a tense, like, for the whole competition. The enemy team is in the lead by like two matches at this point. What do you want your match moment to be? You can call a meeting. You can get in your head to reveal your inner thoughts or secret hopes about this match, or you can flash back to something.
Well, I'm going to call a team meeting. Huddle up, everybody. I guess we're in an area where I'm presuming Dimitri has come into the locker room, maybe thrown a towel or something, and, you know, just you said you were disgusted with yourself. And Serafina feels deeply for you because they also saw how hard you trained for the past 3 weeks, and that move, I could see it in my mind's eye that it was going to be incredible, fabulous. They were all going to, you know, they were going to people passing out from your prowess, but that moment was stolen from you. And this fight and this energy trance, I have to transfer it to you. I'm sorry to put you in this position as a younger cousin. I know it's quite a lot for you, but
I can take it.
This is all riding on you. Yes, you can. I make fun of you for your serious face and how you don't allow yourself to have any fun, but I think this is a moment where anything I have put on you, throw it out the window. It is your show. The people came to see you. The butts in the seats are because of you. Any decision that you make is the perfect and right decision for the moment. Do you believe me?
I believe you. Trance is like, her voice is confident. Her breath is not. Like, her breath is, like, catching.
God.
Yeah. She's, like, trying to keep it under control.
Which of us is the captain?
You are, I think.
Serafina, it feels like you.
Okay. Serafina peels the C off of their jumper and presses it into your chest.
Trance is like, she like holds it out and she's like, league rules say that you can't actually do that until the end of the match, but thank you.
You are Hildred, a nerd.
Hildred like puts a hand on your shoulder. Trance, look at me. Look at me.
All right.
You're the captain now.
Okay. Cool. I still can't.
Say it. Say it, Tramp. Say it.
I'm the captain now. I still can't wear this because they'll catch us, but.
Fine. Okay.
We'll get flagged.
Before I put. You are such. a rule following SOB, and that's what I love about you, cousin. Get out there and pat her on the butt.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
Hildred is going to wander over to Dimitri. Because, like, Dimitri, I know you said you wanted to leave the stadium, but I don't think it would be physically safe.
No, I think what he does, he leaves the field immediately.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and is in the locker room. He's probably has his head in his hands, actively sobbing in there. And this kind of exchange goes on between Seraphine and Trance, and they go to look where Dimitri is. He was there earlier in the scene. He's not there. But there is a notebook behind.
Serafina picks it up, opens the page.
You've seen this notebook before. It's basically his kind of like workings of like strategies and all the times that there've been like practice seminars and stuff done by Hildred. He's written notes down, very, very attentive on the note keeping, but it also seems to be, well, it's a notebook of a 15-year-old. It's filled with doodles, of himself. He's decided what outfit he's going to get when he gets to the kind of like big leagues. The harness design that he currently wears is one that he designed himself.
Yes.
There's drawings of you and of Trance in there, and a bunch of pretty complicated math and a lot of sigils that is clearly working through all the kind of like the magic that he does in terms of making the space portal stuff work, and a section called Experimental Techniques.
Experimental Techniques. I noticed that things are highlighted and noted here. I'm looking in the margins for anything.
Just, I mean, you know, this is in a very kind of like a Pulp Fiction glowing briefcase moment. We won't go into the wide variety of techniques that he's written down, but these are either untested or just like dangerous and silly.
Okay, I see this glow. It's like casting on my face. I hold it to my chest and I just walk up to Trance and I just flash it to their face.
She's like, to the right, though? But is that even...
Don't question the method.
Oh, but if the wind... Got it. Okay. Cool. I got it.
And I put the notebook back in their locker, in Dimitri's locker, knowing that they will come back for it.
And Trance, like, turns and strides ahead, you know, through the tunnel ahead of... and there's a moment when, like, the camera sees Trance saying, I have no idea.
And I'm just gassing you up like a boxer coming out of the ring. Like, you got this. Yeah. You got this. I'm getting the crowd so hyped. Let's go.
Yes. Hildred's like, Trance, you're going to be on your own out there. I have to find Dimitri. It is not a safe time for someone on a team to be alone. You can do this. I will catch up. And... we got to go to the match.
All right. And I have only one choice at this point, right?
Yeah. It's okay. Not like this.
Yeah. All right. I won't accept defeat like this. There must be something more I can do.
Why do you push yourself to the next level to continue the fight?
We've already given everything. From Mrs. Honoré paying for that PR guy to Seraphina making the crowd happy, but getting humiliated by the lieutenant, to whatever's happening with Dimitri right now. I can't make them. I need them to know it was for something. Even if whatever I have to do doesn't feel right.
All right. How do you show your resolve to the world?
Trance gets on Jan Jan and like rises up through the rain and holding the spear in one hand and spreads her arms and looks out at the fans who are like, they're losing energy, they're wet, they're dejected.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns to them and she says, what's a pawn to a king? What's a king to a frog? We can level every devil, so I think we are gods. Tough as leather, fly as feathers on the wing of a seraph. From the heavens to the ring, it's the pink and gold era.
Hey.
And this reverberates through the rain. I think some of that liquid sword's magic, because the rain is in the air, your voice carries over the whole stadium.
The spectators are going wild. Somebody, like, knocks a Jolly Gander supporter unconscious. Some of the Jolly Gander guys, like, tear their colors off, and they have the Kings of Frogs kid underneath it, because they're fakers.
Yeah,
whatever. Whatever.
We got the posers back.
Whatever.
We got the posers back.
We'll take it. That's a future us problem.
All money is green, baby. Yeah.
And we, like, everyone is just croaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what I think, yeah, like, you've got this, and this is the short ranged joust. So this is the one that is full of complicated, fast-paced aerial maneuvers where you are really jockeying position to line up shots. And during the rain especially, this is an intense bout. I think it is one where very early on in this, it's clear that you have an advantage. We've got a bald eagle flying against a mythical fish bird. So I think one is going to do a little bit better in the rain.
Yeah.
Despite this, the rival just secured an important point. Set up the moment by describing how you continue your attack. So who is playing this rival again? This is...
Leave Devin Baskets.
Yeah. Devin, you're in the lead and you scored a point. What does it look like?
Devin, it looks to Devin like they've got this thing wrapped. They think they hit you much harder than they did in the first round, so they think this next one's just going to be a light tap and we'll send you over. One of those moments. So I guess as they're winding up there, fighting against the current of the rain, trying to sway left and right, and left kind of like they're hydroplaning in the air, trying to maneuver and get themselves right so they can come in for that quick jab to finish it.
Cool. So, I spent all my remaining fight and spirit.
Fight and spirit. This is a big sacrifice.
That's four fight and three spirit.
I was the
worst conceivable person to do this.
Yeah, holy shit.
I told you to take the C.
And so I draw two cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I answer a headway in slow motion.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my options is, how do I cleanly counter their attack? All right. I'm going to do something that's technically legal, but but usually frowned upon.
For the wealthy classes, technically legal is the best kind of legal.
Yeah. So the whole fight, I've been targeting Devin's headgear, and okay. I keep missing. I keep keeping glancing hits at skating off the side of his head. But by this point, as he's juking back and forth in the rain, it's come just loose enough that his hair is spilling out behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing in the wind, and there's this moment where we come at each other, and I take this thrust, and it goes super wide, and it looks great to Devin, like he's completely bypassed the point of the spear, and he comes in for that light tap, and it's only when he's like a few centimeters away that he feels something pulling back, because I've wound the spear into his hair at the very end.
Oh!
Ow.
Damn!
Not my beautiful luck. So, stop it!
Yeah, so nobody bothered to outlaw hair pulls because it's like outlawing
this
a hair
a
pulling
in a, how are you
right,
gonna pull hair?
Yeah, so but it's like pulling on the hair so he could cut off his own hair to stay in the saddle. But I know he won't.
Yeah. Oh, yes. and you score a dismount, which in this, holy cow. Yeah, this is big. This is big. And just as we've established, with not like this, you would either pull things to be even, or because it cannot end in a draw, you will secure the win.
Yeah.
This is like, and you've been throughout this match, like we were describing, you have been making other hits. He was still leading, and their teams definitely was like leading by points. You made up enough points that a dismount would put you over the edge to make up for the other losses that you suffered, especially because Dimitri's loss like wasn't a heavy scoring loss. So in doing this, like, things turn around suddenly. Like, I don't think there was ever a point where, like, really, the audience reached its fever pitch when Rashaan was like pumping, when Serafina was like pumping them up, and it was this slow decline as the team wasn't doing well, and then there is this unbelievable magic moment where a dismount is scored in this. Like in the short range joust. The short range joust has saddles that make it incredibly hard for a dismount to be scored. Like, it's only through like historical rule book shenanigans that probably are pointed out in Dimitri's notebook that, like, if you can get a dismount, that's like 50 points. That would put you ahead. So you just like chess mastered this into the perfect position to just like win by, I think it's like 2 points, two technical damage points. And then the horns go off, the crowd realizing what has just happened explodes, absolutely explodes.
I think Mrs. Honoré is incensed to see, like, whoa, all of the like traditionalists are like seeing this, like, either because from their perspective one of two things happened: either I missed and my spear got entangled in his hair by accident, and so I got that dismount completely by accident against while I was losing, or I engineered a hair pull on purpose, which is technically legal but not considered like good and honorable, chivalrous jousting.
Yeah.
The papers will be going wild.
The color commentators are like losing it right now.
Yeah.
All the frog boy dancers are just hitting a beautiful in celebration of us. Wait, do we have to like jump back on this like kind of party barge and get out of here before the crowd, you know, riots?
I don't think we have another option, but we have to find Dimitri or he's going to get stuck out there.
Oh.
But before we get to that, there is still finishing this move.
Sky Joust.
Sky Joust.
But before we get to that, there is still finishing this move. You knew there would be consequences. You're going to choose a condition to show your sacrifice. You cannot spend fight or spirit until this is completed. Do not take spirit when you complete this condition. Because, like, I do think you completed your in the limelight condition. Like, I think you actually completed that story fully.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Yeah.
I have one spirit to my name.
Yep.
And one fight. Great.
Yeah. Limping into that next match.
Yeah. All right. What's a nice condition for this one?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah. Can you... let's see, there's burnt out. Is there one that relates to guilty?
Awaiting judgment.
Or awaiting judgment?
It's guilty or awaiting judgment. We could pop those open and see.
I like both of those. I am cool with someone else deciding between them. So awaiting judgment would mean that like we get... like I.
There is a political fallout from all of
this. Right, and they have
this
to get the
shambles.
Right, they have to get the spare jousting association together, and then a bunch of like horrible conservative old dudes are going to decide whether to like formally censure me.
But I feel like Dimitri is the one who's going to get the fine for having almost
I think
blinded
that,
someone.
That might be a Dimitri call. What I think the awaiting judgment would represent, I think it's Miss Zonaray deciding whether or not she's going to keep you on the team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and I did so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this team did win, is going to the semifinal. Like, that's true no matter what. However, didn't perform well moving into this semifinal. Don't have a lot of, like, cachet for negotiating. This isn't like you absolutely dominating your opponents going into the semifinal. This is like, well, through flexible rules shenanigans, you've eked out a victory and you've done it in the worst way. So she's pissed. Wow. She's absolutely pissed.
Well done.
Yeah, absolutely well done. That is match complete. And yeah, you have identified absolutely that you need to get the heck out of Dodge, because this is like, there are going to be riots. In fact, the Red Feathers may shut this down.
Would Dimitri respond to a text message or a DM of sorts?
Feather.
Or the
Do you remember Zana being gaining the ability
that's Jonnet and Zana. They've got special texting powers. I think
that was 100 years ago.
Can I actually suggest something about where Dimitri, where are you?
So I think Dimitri is probably trying to go and find the rest of his family presently, who may or may not have kind of, you know, run into the people fighting outside upon trying to leave.
Because I was going to suggest that, like, Javon is the first one who finds you.
Sure.
James, does that make sense?
It kind of goes hand in hand there.
Yeah,
anyway,
it'll either be conversation, Hildred.
I like Javon finding him first and Hildred coming in.
Yes.
I think, like, you're out. So it's not, there's not really city outside. It's just this temporary thing with like stalls and stuff, and there's people tailgating. And I think Javon, so where exactly does Javon find you?
So I think, because I kind of picture this like a football stadium. So there's building that isn't necessarily the match area, you know, where it would be maybe like the main lobby or whatever. And, Dimitri hasn't changed out of his performance gear, you know, all of that is still in the locker rooms. He's just kind of like a aimless. He needs to be somewhere but not in the presence of the rest of his team. He can't look at them right now.
All right. Dimitri. And, Dimitri.
Hi, Big Bro.
Javon just walks towards you and just enfolds you in a hug without saying anything.
You're gonna get what you want. They're gonna kick me from the team for this. So I hope you're happy.
Probably. I'm sorry. I didn't.
No, you're not.
No, Dimitri, it should have been your choice. If I wanted to force you out of this, I would have done it myself. But it wouldn't have felt right.
Force me. You don't understand. Just because you're older than me doesn't mean you can make me do anything. I've managed to achieve so much and you just don't care because it's not what you want.
It's not that I don't care. I'm happy you're happy. It's just all of the other stuff. This sport destroys people. Like, look at what happened. It rattles off like a long list of like jousting rising stars who got injured, or, you know, jousters who like declined after their lives. It's just like, I don't like, it's great when you're winning, but I'm afraid of what might happen to you if things don't go well.
It's not losing. Losing is fine. Losing is an opportunity to learn. I enjoy this whether I win or lose.
No, Dimitri, you didn't lose.
What?
You won the match.
There's a pause. who scored the winning points?
Trance, it wasn't pretty, but like you ended up ahead by two. Trance did something technically legal, but not cool. It was like never.
It was a dismount. Hildred, like catching up to this group.
Yeah, there. It was a dismount.
Well, congratulations to her, I guess.
Congratulations to you. You won.
Yes. Sorry. There is like a... I think there's a... He, I guess, is not in the moment of processing that this is a team effort. I think on other circumstances he would. But because this was... He had to prove himself to so many people simultaneously, not just to you as to prove that this is an effort worthwhile, but that he still honestly believes that if he didn't perform well enough, he would be cut from the team as he is not a family member of the owner. So he is disappointed anybody who would have wanted to kind of keep him in this line of work, and he is now spiraling, not knowing what he's supposed to be doing with what he's kind of like spent a large part of his life training to do. Well, I'm glad that we won, but I don't really know if I get to be on the team anymore after this.
You're getting kicked off this team over my dead body. I've got a month left in my contract. I know when it's worth to stick my neck out for something. Javon, was it?
Yeah.
Do you and your family have a ride out?
We don't, and I actually just left the cousins in the care of a 13-year-old, so...
Why don't you get back to your family and here? She hands over like what looks like a flag or a handkerchief to Javon. There are some guys. They'll be waiting around the locker room. They've got birds. They should be able to get you out. You won't have to hop on what I imagine is going to be a very messy red feather barge. And it is, again, the Freelancers Union logo, which I think earlier when I tried to show y'all didn't appear because it was on a different sheet. But yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just show them that. Say that I sent you. They'll take you out.
Okay. Javon's like, the kids are going to love this. And like walks away. With a sour
Everyone loves a goose.
Yeah.
Hey, kiddo.
Dimitri's firmly looking at the floor. Yeah.
So you know they won from a dismount.
That's rare.
Pretty rare, I would say. So rare that most people wouldn't think of it as an approach. But I kind of feel like that must sound familiar to you because it was in a notebook.
Yeah. I figured they would be able to make use of it since, you know.
And we did, as Serafina marches up to you with the book. You were with us even when you weren't.
I'm so sorry. And he kind of like runs over and hugs you as well.
It's there too.
I can't cry
without
like
your
this.
Strategy, you can, and I encourage you to do so. It may seem like a hardcore bitch at times, but you should know that without your strategy, without your focus, this couldn't have happened. I messed up. I could get kicked off the team. I did the worst.
I can't cry like this because this means that we go through to the next round, right?
It does.
Serafina.
Yes.
Are you jousting in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm jousting in 2 weeks.
Trance, you jousting in 2 weeks?
I'm jousting in 2 weeks.
And that just leaves you. Dimitri, you jousting in 2 weeks?
I'm jousting in 2 weeks.
Yes.
I'm going to be absolutely terrified of the heat that I am going to bring.
Dimitri, let's go.
This is what I love to hear. Kids, I'm going to be honest with you. The next 2 weeks are not going to be great. I feel like I can tell you this. I hate this job. And I hate it because of all of the people who try to tell some of the most talented athletes that I have had the pleasure of working with what to do and how to do it. You know what you're doing. Each of you knows what you're doing. And I saw big plays out there. And for 2 weeks, people are going to be telling you that they know what's right and that you're not right. That's not true. And I was waffling on this, but you need to know this. I'm up for contract negotiations in a month, basically after the championship. There is no way that they are going to be renewing my contract. I think you kids are great at what you do. I really, really do. I don't know if you want to keep jousting with the Frog Princes or go on to the Kings of Frogs once you graduate out of the fledglings, but if there's a chance that you don't, I'm putting a team together of my own. And you've got your whole lives ahead of you, long futures and all that. Think about it. The only thing, we're not represented by a club.
The pay, therefore, not being very high. And Dimitri thinks about this. Either way, he needs to go through and do the next matches. And staying with the Prince of Frogs, at least ensures dividends that can be securing the rest of his family, even if he then, after the season, gives it up and uses these skills for something else. I don't know, becomes a 15-year-old maths teacher. But he could also set aside that money and genuinely play for the love of the sport. But how do you do that when you feel that you're disgraced?
The thing that I need you all to know, all of you to know, especially going into the semifinals, if this is what you love to do, you're good enough to do it. Now, jousting is not always jousting for the Kings of Frogs, but if you love it enough that jousting with the Kings of Frogs isn't the important thing, then when I go, you can come with me. Now, who's ready to get yelled at?
Always.
I am. I guess we speed off for our vessel.
Yeah.
I think we speed off, like we start like walking at a brisk pace, and then like we turn around and we see like the giant spectator war like spilling towards us, and we accelerate.
Yeah, Dimitri's still in his like uniform and equipped. Technically, somebody gets too close and just gets bonked in the head with a metal yo-yo and falls over.
Wow. Fighting retreat.
Mm-hmm. Lucky that was the blunt one and not bladed one. Moving swiftly on.
We're popping champagne. We're having a little brunch. We earned it. I'm sure there's a masseuse on the freighter as we get out of there.
All of those things.
Some ice baths.
Your mother. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you dazzled her so much.
We'll see. I think we're going to probably address that at the beginning of our PvP session.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, we have reached closing credits. And once again, anime style, this is these slow, contemplative songs with a lot of looking at the moon and like walking slowly. So I want to know, what do the closing credits for the Kings of Frogs colloquially mm-hmm. named Frog Princes look like?
I think it looks like we're all on one of those climbing walls, and then as it pans out, we're just on like little frog like warts climbing up a big frog. Oh, it seems like we're on we're on the belaying.
No, it like literally looks like you are climbing a mountain, but you are climbing a frog that has a crown on it. It's like this very weird abstract symbol. I love it.
Yeah. The big eyeball opens and then we all fall into the eyeball.
Nathan, what about you?
Oh, I'd like to go last if that's okay.
Okay, yeah.
I think the final thing we see from Trance is sitting on a giant lily pad in the middle of a pond. and she's just sitting with, like, and the spear is, like, stuck in the pond next to her. She's, like, poking up out of the water. And she's just there writing in her rhyme book as Jen plays in the water.
Good. Love that. Love that.
We see a playroom filled with toys of, like, giant stuffed frogs, wooden birds hanging from mobiles and things like that. A set of building blocks that spell out the names of our characters. And a yo-yo is, like, left in the middle of the room. And the camera looks up to Dimitri leaving the room behind, turning the lights out and leaving him a silhouette in the room, and then closing the door.
Oh, with silhouette, obviously, with the anime style shining glasses.
As he looks over his shoulders, the white of his pince-nez glasses are the only things not in shadow as he leaves.
And then we get, like, because this has been a very slow contemplative song, the way that anime closing credits tend to be. And then there are three powerful stings of like the guitar that we got from the metal opening, with the Sky Joust logo appearing. And that's it. That's our episode, folks.
Whoa.
Ooh, I love the drama. I love the drama.
Sad Ooh. Children.
Emotions running high.
Rainy sidewalk lit by street light. Everybody stayed at home. But I am walking through the storm. My hands are cold, my heart is warm, and I will not spend another day alone. When the summer leaves start turning red, I will build a castle in my head. Upon the parapets to see the moon rise, watch the sunset. I know you'll be waiting for me when this frigid, awful story ends. I promise we'll be friends when the summer comes again.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.